Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, the Justice Department investigates the Southern Poverty Law Center. New FIFA tickets will soon hit the market. And in the nonpartisan race to be elected to Georgia's Supreme Court, the two major parties still back candidates. Today is Tuesday, April 21st. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. The Southern Poverty Law Center says it's the subject of a Justice Department criminal investigation. The Alabama-based civil rights organization said today that President Donald Trump's administration appears to be preparing legal action against it or its employees. The center's CEO, Brian Fair, says the focus appears to be its prior use of paid confidential informants to gather intelligence on violent groups, intelligence it often shared with law enforcement. Fair says what they learned from the informants saved lives. The center is a popular target among Republicans who call it overly leftist and partisan. The Justice Department had no comment on the story. Three justices on the Georgia Supreme Court are up for re-election in May, and two of the races are contested. GPB's Sarah Callis reports on the politics in those races.
Georgia Democrats are hoping to recreate their 2025 Public Service Commission success in this year's state Supreme Court race. While state Supreme Court races are technically nonpartisan, candidates Jen Jordan and Miracle Rankin are campaigning on Democratic values like abortion access. Democratic Party of Georgia Chair Charlie Bailey says the party is investing in their campaigns.
It's the most money that the Georgia Democratic Party has spent in judicial races in 20 years.
Governor Brian Kemp has thrown his support behind the incumbent justices Charles Bethel and Sarah Warren. Early voting starts next week, and the general Supreme Court race is May 19th at the same time as the primary election. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis.
A new survey from the Alzheimer's Association suggests that while people want to adopt healthy habits to protect their minds as they age, they likely don't know what those habits are. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more.
The survey finds an estimated 90% of Americans believe supporting brain health is important with age, but less than 10% know what steps to take. Heather Snyder is with the Alzheimer's Association. She says people are not necessarily reaching healthy goals with things like sleep, exercise, and diet.
The good news is people are motivated, they want to learn more, they want to think about how to incorporate changes into their brain health, and they want to have those conversations with their doctor.
An estimated 188,000 Georgians are living with Alzheimer's, and more than 390,000 family members and friends are providing their care. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
State lawmakers ended their 2026 legislative session without taking any action to address the impact of data centers. Now, with the election season underway, candidates are addressing the issue with voters. In Metro Atlanta's DeKalb County, Democratic gubernatorial candidate Jason Estevez yesterday held a town hall where voters brought their concerns. Estevez called for more oversight of data center construction.
So I want to strengthen local control to make sure that you have a voice with your county commission, with your city council, to ensure that they are listening to the people who are most impacted by these developments that are being built.
Plans for these energy-hungry data center projects keep popping up in Georgia. Google confirmed one today in LaGrange. The rush of projects has prompted resistance, which Democrats are hoping to capitalize on in the midterm elections. The large wildfire in South Georgia's Clinch County is growing, prompting officials to tell nearby residents to prepare for evacuation. The Pineland Road fire started about 15 miles west of the town of Fargo. As of noon today, the most recent update at the time of this recording, which is on Tuesday afternoon, Clinch County emergency officials say the fire was nearly 9,000 acres and only about 10% of it was contained. They're advising people living along U.S. Highway 441 to prepare to evacuate. People who have fled persecution abroad by coming to the United States historically have been eligible for social services. That includes SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. But a change to the program now means Atlanta's refugee community can't access it. GPB's Sophie Gratis reports.
Hi. Padia Mixon leads me to a back room at the new American Pathways office in Clarkston.
So we've kind of had to repurpose our break room to store food, and we...
In the past few months, this break room has been turned into a makeshift food bank for the refugee families that Mixon and others help resettle in the U.S.
We have bags for people from Congo and Central Africa.
Big, reusable grocery bags and cardboard boxes line chrome shelves.
Myanmar.
Some are organized by country of origin.
People for Latin America.
Depending on what culturally appropriate foods they contain.
Basic things like flour and pasta and oil, but also pistachios and other nuts, spices.
This is all stuff you could get at the grocery store, but now may be causing a strain on refugee families' wallets following a cut to monthly SNAP benefits. That's because the passage of President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill Act last summer ended SNAP eligibility for all non-U.S. citizens, including people granted legal political asylum. Padia Mixon says when the news hit,
I read it and saw, oh my God, they're cutting SNAP benefits for refugees, and just sort of started to feel this panic.
Panic for the 8,000 refugees and asylees who were getting SNAP in Georgia as of December. Kirill Levtorov of New American Pathways says one of the first things people like him do for refugees when they arrive in the U.S. is enroll them in SNAP.
People who are just like 1 to 3 years in the country, they really relied on SNAPs. And I'm speaking about people with the large families, lack of U.S. education, U.S. working experience.
SNAP benefits offered a first step toward stability while families built new lives. When benefits were cut in January, Levtorov started seeing that stability unravel for his clients.
Like a couple of months ago, it was like maybe one emergency a week, maybe a couple of times. Now it's like a couple of times a day, so it's now very different.
Without SNAP, that can look like a $700 to $900 hole in monthly budgets for families like Alexis, which are also balancing childcare and rent. Alexi, who asked to go by only one name, is from Tanzania. His family of seven has been in Georgia for 5 years. There was a time we didn't have food for a week, he says. We get this, we get that, but food stamps were really helping us a lot. Now, he says, his family is in crisis mode, back to needing the basic assistance they relied on when they first arrived here.
People that were self-sufficient now are food insecure.
Padia Mixon says many of the people she works with feel disillusioned.
I've heard over and over again, I thought I knew what America was, and I was wrong. I've heard that many, many times. I mean, it's quite a shock, you know?
Mixon and New American Pathways have already started planning for the next emergency, coming this fall, an end to Medicaid eligibility for immigrants without green cards. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gradas in Clarkston.
A residential campground founded by Georgia music icon Zach Brown is getting a new leader. Camp Southern Ground yesterday said its new CEO would be Boeing executive Mike Kamona. The 400-acre campground south of Atlanta serves more than 1,000 children and veterans each year. A Georgia resort is opening what it's calling the state's first fully illuminated after-dark golf course of its kind. Lanier Islands Resort on Lake Lanier, northeast of Atlanta, says the 6-hole par 3 nightlit course, called The Six, will open on Saturday. FIFA is putting more World Cup tickets on sale after angering some fans by adding new, more expensive categories. Soccer World's governing body said today it will make more tickets available starting at 11 a.m. tomorrow for all 140 games, including the 8 in Atlanta. The new tickets are the first 3 categories of seats plus the new front category pricing it added this month. And the Braves face the Nationals in D.C. again tonight for the second of the 4-game series. Bryce Elder struck out 6 in 6 2/3 innings. He also earned himself a warning from the umpires for hitting C.J. Abrams of the Nationals in the rear end. Umpires were concerned the pitch may have been intentional after Braves outfielder Ronald Acuna Jr. was hit by pitch twice earlier in the game. Atlanta has now won 10 of its last dozen games and has the second-best record in baseball behind the Los Angeles Dodgers. And that is it for this edition of Georgia Today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we hope you'll come back tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe and check gpb.org/news for updates to any of the stories you heard today, as well as the new headlines that our reporters are putting out there. If you have feedback or perhaps a story idea we should know about, let us know by email. It's the best way to reach us. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you again for listening. We will see you tomorrow.